Brother Art was teasing me up there from the pulpit about my age. I understand he's got a way to preach his long sermons. He preached one day, I understand, for about an hour. And somebody in the back hollered, "Preach on, Pharaoh." So he preached on another 10 minutes. Now, "Preach on, Pharaoh." He kept on preaching. "Preach on, Pharaoh." So I stopped and said, "Well, what do you mean, preach on, Pharaoh?" He said, "He wouldn't let God's people go either." Touche. I hope you'll be praying for the camp meeting. I really appreciate this church. You always get us off to a great start. Don't let me down this year. We always have a church full. We always have good results. And you just keep us going from the camp meeting. By the way, Tuesday we'll be down in Shingle House. That's pretty far away. But then Wednesday, of course, you have service here. But Thursday we're going to be at Wattsburg. If somebody can come over there, Brother Seymour. I almost forgot his name. Radiation. And then Friday we're going to be at Grace of Calvary with Brother Alquist. So if you can come, there will be room for you there. So if you're not in one of the meetings here, be sure and come on down and you'll get another blessing from the preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now you're going to think my sight has gone bad or my mathematics is wrong, but there are only three people here today. What? No, wait a minute. There's more than that on the front row. You know, there's only three people here today. And we're going to look at them in the scripture. And actually, they're in this auditorium this morning. Only three people. And maybe 120 people, 150 people here, but there's actually only three. I'm going to start reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 at verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm going to start reading at verse 9. We're going to look at three people that are in this auditorium this morning. Now, I'm not going to point you out. Like an old preacher said, I'm a cobbler. I'm going to throw out shoes. If they fit, you put them on. Or like a switchboard operator, I'm going to push in the numbers. If your phone rings, you answer it. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, but as it is written. Now, what does Sunday school teacher say? But it's a good thing we got it written. Boy, it's written down where we can see it. But as written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither had entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. I tell you, I'm looking forward to seeing those things. But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. All right, verse 14, we've got the first person here, the natural man. Actually, there were three people in the entire state of New York. Here's one of them. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, now notice this phrase, foolishness unto him, and notice this, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. There's one man. Verse 15 has the second man. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For we have known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. So you've got a natural man, you've got a spiritual man. I wish we didn't have this third man. In fact, I had a fellow down in Georgia. I was preaching a tent meeting back in the 1950s. He said, "Preacher, no such thing as a backslider." I said, "I'd like to tell the doctor, no such thing as a common cold." The third man, verse 1 of chapter 3. "And I, brethren," now notice this word, brethren. He's not speaking to the natural man. He's not speaking to an unsaved person. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as the babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal, for as there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and speak and walk as men? For while one saith, I am Paul, another I am Apollos, are you not carnal?" Three men, natural man, spiritual man, carnal man. Where do you fit in this second Sunday in year 2012? Where do you fit in? And are you satisfied with where you are? Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts today. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity of being here with my friends. But Lord, as I preach this morning, I pray that you'll take the message, apply it to my heart personally and the heart of everybody in this building. And may no one leave today without being able to say, God, talk to me about something. I pray for those that may be here unsaved, a natural man. May this be the most important day of their entire life when they come to know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior and have eternal life for all eternity. I pray for the spiritual, Lord, keep each spiritual person in this building stirred up, not satisfied with where they are, but keep on going for Christ. And those that may be walking afar off, as Peter did at one time, Lord, may this be the morning they come back where they should be spiritually and not be carnal. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, first of all, you notice the Bible mentions the natural man. That's the unsaved person, never been born again. Not washed in the blood. They may be religious. They may be church members. They may be drunkards in the gutter. But they're a natural person. The natural eye hasn't seen the things of the Spirit of God. The natural ear hasn't heard. They can sit in church, and their mind is wandering a mile away somewhere. They're wondering what the Buffalo Bills are going to do and wondering why they didn't make it. The natural man. The things of God hadn't even entered their heart. You see, the Bible says by nature, man by nature knew not God. Now, what is this natural man? Where did he come from? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Well, what about this natural man, this unsaved man? Ephesians chapter 2. Now, he's speaking here to Christians and looking back at what they were. In chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "And you had it quickened, made alive, who were, not are." But there's a time, listen, there's a time in everybody's life, when every Christian's life, when you were not saved. There's a time you look back and, well, there I was, a poor lost sinner bound for eternity in hell, but Jesus came in and saved me. So the natural man is the unsaved person, dead in trespass and sin. Now notice this this chapter. You had the quickened who were dead in trespass and sin, where in times past, you walked according to the course of this world. I mean, the world's system, the world's pleasures, the world's music, the world's things they chase after, that was your life outside of Christ. That's the natural man. He enjoys those things. The course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the children of disobedience. The devil is your father, the father of the devil. You know, I hate to have a devil for my father. Even the world pictures the devil as something bad. And if you're unsaved, that is your father. You don't have the heavenly father. You can stand all day and pray, "Our Father which art in heaven," but you're not talking to God. You know, outside of Christ, the natural man, the devil is his father. My, what a father to have. That you can speak of evil, the devil is. Liar, murderer, anything bad, the devil's, that's him. And that's your father, the natural man. What a father to have. Among whom also we all had our conversation, our conduct, our way of life in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, what's that talking about? You did what you wanted to do. You got up when you wanted to get up. You went to work because you had to. You drank because you wanted to drink. You cussed because that was part of your nature. You were outside of Christ having no hope. In this world, walking here in New York, lost, a walking dead man, dead in trespass and sin, a walking zombie. The things of God, foolishness to you. Prayer, a waste of time or a habit. It's something you did just because you're supposed to. Prayer, that's just a waste of time. You didn't enjoy the Psalms of Zion. You'd rather have some kind of rock song. You wonder why people sing like and enjoy Amazing Grace. Preaching. Mind, the preacher preached too long or too loud, one of the two. I think I told this story here several years ago, but I was there. I wasn't in church that it happened, but I was in the church it happened in. Now, down south, we got different terminology than what you have up here in New Yankee Land. This janitor, his job was to shut up the church. That meant he turned on all the lights, locked the doors when everybody left. That was his job, to shut up the church. One Sunday, and boy, I wish I'd been, I missed that Sunday for some reason. The preacher preached on Pharaoh. He preached about 12:15. The janitor had to go somewhere at 12:45. Boy, he looked at his watch. He gave the Baptist salute. He looked at it. And preacher kept preaching, and he got fidgety. Man, I got to get out of here. I got to set up the church and lock everything up. And he's keeping on preaching. He preached about 12, 25. There was a blackboard in the back. So you got a piece of chalk, preached up here at the pulpit, preaching away, and you're on it. You shut up. I've got to go home. I think he meant lock up the church. Not positive. But the unsaved, they don't enjoy preaching. It disturbs them. This lady in West Virginia heard me preach. She went home and was tossing and turning. I said, what's wrong? She said, something got a hold of me. Preaching gets a hold of you. You don't like that if you're a natural man. You do a favor to a person by coming to church, not because you want to. Let's consider the natural man. First of all, 1 Corinthians 1:21. Let's look at this. Let's consider this natural man. His wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. But after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom, now notice these next three words, knew not God. Why is it evolution is taught in almost every major college in America? Because they don't know God. Their wisdom is corrupted. Albert Einstein was witnessed to by a fellow who used to teach, Bob Jones, and he said, I don't believe all that junk. You see, he was educated ignorance. By the way, if you believe this evolutionary junk, you ought to get you a lawyer and sue your brain for lack of support. That's the wisdom of the world, unsaved man, the natural man. You see, God's truth is not revealed by flesh and blood, but by God's Spirit. That's the reason the Bible is so important. The good old King James Bible, let God's Spirit speak to you through it. His thoughts, the thoughts of the natural man is described in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. His thoughts. And God saw the wickedness of man was greater than the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. His thoughts are evil. A cesspool coming out of his mind. His thoughts, evil continually. It's not the Philippians 4:8 thoughts, things are good and honest, good report and just. No. His understanding, 2 Corinthians 4:4, darkened by the devil. You see, God wants to save you. Christ died for your sins upon Calvary's cross. You're here in this building today unsaved because God wants you in heaven. Hey. But there's another force working. And you'll sit back in this in one of these pews, and your thoughts will go everywhere else. Why? Because the devil darkens your mind. The devil wants you in hell. God wants you in heaven. Where do you want to go? It's your choice. His thoughts, darkened by the devil. His words, the words of the natural man, is described in Matthew chapter 12. The words of the unsaved man. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 33 says, either make the tree good or its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruits. O generation of vipers, snakes, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Romans 3:13 says, the poison of asps, with snakes, under their lips. The words of the unsaved. Why is he can curse and swear? Use God's name in vain? Because that's natural man. The natural man. I preached this past year up in Alaska. I said something about the rattlesnakes. After service over, a couple teams came and said, what's a rattlesnake? They don't have, somebody said, well, I'm going to move to Alaska. They don't have rattlesnakes. They've got grizzlies there. I think I'd rather tangle the snake than tangle the grizzly. But the poison of snakes, just filthiness proceeding out. Why? He's natural. He's natural. His ways end in death. James 1, chapter 1, verse 15. Ends in death. His religion, Acts 17. Paul said, Mars healed. He said, you worship all kinds of things. Most people worship, in America, worshiping themselves. Right. Worshiping themselves, worshiping sports. Worshiping pleasure. Religion. His destiny. The destiny of the natural man. Now, I want you to get this. You don't get anything else this morning. If you're the natural person, you've never been saved, you've got a future. The destiny is found in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Now, folks, that's not a TV sitcom. That's truth. You can go through this life and you can have all your pleasure and you can have all your fun, but you've got a destiny. You're going to meet God. And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. The natural man. How did he get this way? How did he become a natural person? I was teaching Vacation Bible School. I don't think it's here, somewhere back years ago. A whole gang of kids. I said, how did you become a sinner? They looked at me, I said, because you were born. This kid said, what? Because I was born? Yeah. You see, Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. They developed a sin nature through that. They passed on to their kids. They passed on to their kids. It came down generation after generation after generation. It came to your parents, right, and your parents passed it on to you. And your parents sinned when you passed on to your kids. But it's natural man. How you were born, going astray from the womb, speaking lies. Shaping in iniquity, sin conceived in sin. This professor in one of the Ivy League schools met the preacher on the street in Boston and said, I can't swallow this business of original sin. Preacher said, mister, you don't have to swallow it, you already got it in you. It's already there. You don't have to swallow it. The natural man. All right, well, what can you do about it? I'm glad you asked that question, because you're in the right place today. John chapter 3, you can be born again. You can be born again. John 3:16 was given to Nicodemus. For God so loved the world. That's not talking about a globe or a map. That's talking about you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And whosoever believes in him, that's you, should not perish, but have everlasting life. I think three of the most blessed words in the entire Bible. Should not perish. Should not perish. That'll nail down eternity. Should not perish. God does not want you to perish. He wants you to be saved. Now, I'm going to come back to this, but let me hurry on. I'm going to try to preach these next two points, so I'm going to give them to you. The spiritual man. Who is he? Who is he? The spiritual man. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, ye which are spiritual. Writing to Christians, ye which are spiritual. Now, had he been writing to this church right here, and Paul wrote this letter to you, addressed to your church, and your pastor gets the letter here in the mailbox, opens up and reads it here to the church, ye which are spiritual. You see, he wasn't talking about everybody there in the region of Galatia. He singled out a certain group. Ye which are spiritual. Had he written that to this church, would he include you? Are you spiritual? I'm not asking you you're perfect. Are you spiritual? You see, there's a natural man, there's a spiritual man. A spiritual person, according to Galatians chapter 6, can help others. The spiritual man does not mind strong preaching. By the way, boy, that preaching really affects me. Rubs me the wrong way. Well, turn the cat around. It'll rub you the right way. Your phone rings, answer it. He judges all things by the word of God. Hebrews chapter 5, he can digest the meat of the word. Romans chapter 8, he minds the things of the Spirit. You see, the Bible is more important to him than TV set. Sunday night, church is more important than sitting home watching a football game or a basketball game. The spiritual man. Prayer is important to him. He doesn't sit home on Sunday night. Psalm 137, he's in the blessing God in the house of God on Sunday night. He's led by the Spirit. This is the hundredfold Christian. He's sold out, lock, stock, and barrel. This is his time, talent, and tithe all belongs to God. He's saved, surrendered, serving. He's baptized and an active church member. Not satisfied just to come on Sunday morning and put it all off till the next Sunday morning. He wants to do something for God. This is a spiritual man. This is the unashamed Christian, Romans 1:16. This is the visitation Christian. This is the tract giving out Christian. This is the working Christian. From this group comes your Sunday school teachers, your deacons, trustees, your youth workers, junior church workers, preachers, young men. They're burdened for the cause of Christ. Can't you just see David's big brother? I'm sure taller than him. What are you doing here? He said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Folks, here in this 21st century, is there not a cause still? Is there not a cause? It's silly, folks. He's burdened for the cause. Somebody asked Sam Jones once, How do you stay spiritual? He says, like riding a bicycle. You got to keep pedaling. If you don't keep pedaling, you'll fall on your face. You don't stay spiritual by neglecting your Bible. You don't stay spiritual by neglecting prayer. You don't stay spiritual by being ashamed to witness. You don't stay spiritual by sitting home in church when you ought to be, when those doors are open here and something going on. Let me quickly get to this last one. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Now, I'm an evangelist. I travel all across this country preaching. I'm in church after church after church. I wish I didn't have to say this. I'm finding this third group in about every church. I was in a church about 5 years ago now. We had about 250 on Sunday morning. We had about 75 on Sunday night and the rest of the week. In America right now, about 40% of people come on Sunday morning, end up Sunday night or Wednesday night, leave them less. Carnal. You see, this Christian, and it says brethren, so they're Christians, they're saved, going to be in heaven someday. The difference between a carnal and a spiritual Christian, the carnal Christian appreciates the fact that Jesus died for him on the cross and gives him salvation. The spiritual Christian loves Jesus Christ because he did for him. There's a difference. This Christian, the carnal Christian, is not dependable. Bob Jones Sr. used to say the greatest ability you can have is dependability. Right. If you can't preach, you can't sing, you can't play instruments, but you can be dependable. You can be dependable. You see, the carnal Christian will come if it's convenient. Any old excuse will do to stay home. They'll give some, but not tithe. They'll read the Bible, but they don't really study it. A preacher stood up on a Sunday night and said, now, next Sunday morning, I'm going to preach from Mark chapter 17. I want everybody to read it between now and then. So next Sunday morning, he got up and said, now, how many people read Mark chapter 17? About half the people raised their hand. He said, this morning I'm preaching on liars. There's no chapter 17 in the book of Mark. You have to pull that sometime. This Christian will pray if there's problems. Oh, preacher, my wife and I are having a terrible time. We're about seven. Would you pray for me? Oh, preacher, my kid's sick. Would you come to the hospital and pray for me? I was thinking of prayer in the other town. Remember the Cuban Missile Crisis? It came on Wednesday. Sometimes you say things without really thinking. This woman walked in the door of the church Wednesday night. She never, in all the time I was there, ever attended Wednesday night prayer meeting. The first thing I said was, what are you doing here? There's going to be a war. I thought I'd come pray. Hey, you better pray when there's not a war. The carnal Christian doesn't pray. Doesn't attend church regular. Actually, too much church. Neither God nor the preacher can count on them. They're easily led astray. I'll read this verse, Ephesians 4:14. They're easily led astray. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. That henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to the sea. I meet people, Jehovah's Witness and Mormons, who once were Baptists. If they were saved, what happened? They got led astray. The devil's got a lot of people out to lead you astray. They follow men, not Christ. If they don't like the preacher, they'll go somewhere else if he steps on their toes. They got a chip on the shoulder, came off the old block. I was at Brother Jerry and I stopped by my son John's and spent the night there a little night. John's got this exercise bike. He got on that thing, man, he was running, he was walking, he was going for about 15, 20, 30 minutes. He got up and said, I went a mile. No, you didn't. Same place where you started. That's a carnal Christian. Boy, they'll say, I'm this. Not going forward in the Christianity at all. Same old Christian they were last year. Same old Christian they were 5 years ago. Never growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The last thing the old fisherman said was, grow. 2 Peter 3:18. Last thing the old fisherman told us, grow. Add to your faith. Don't be satisfied to be a carnal Christian. Weak in faith, marked by divisions, await to the work of God, stunt their own spiritual growth, neglect salvation, playing with sin. I had a statistic I had back in the 60s or 70s, and I got a new one from that last year. And it hasn't changed much at all. In fact, I think only one thing's moved 1 point in about 25 or 30 years. 5% of reported church members don't even exist. 10% cannot be found. 20% of people that sit in church on Sunday morning never pray. 25% never read the Bible during the week. 30% of professed church members never attend church except special occasions. 40% never give to any cause. 50%, that's one half, never go to Sunday school. Man, what they're missing. Opportunity for spiritual growth. That's one half, never go to Sunday school. 60%, and by the way, I found this is pretty much true. 60% do not go on Sunday night. 70% never give to missions. 75% never engage in church activities. 80% never go to prayer meeting on Wednesdays. 90% never have family altar, family worship. And this is the one that's changed 1 point. It used to be 96. 95% never try to win a soul to Christ. I mean, that's professing Christians. That's either carnal or natural that profess to be Christians, either carnal or natural. Now, I'll give you this. There are different degrees of carnality. Some worse than others. Some would never think criticizing the preacher. Some just do it all the time. Some would never miss Sunday morning service. Some will miss if they want to. Some would have family off, and some would never do it. So there are different degrees of carnality. There's different degrees of natural people, unsaved people. Some take God's name in vain, and some wouldn't think of cussing. The main president of the town I was in, he was a righteous man. He didn't drink, didn't cuss. He went to the church every now and then. He was a good man, but lost.
Yeah.
One of my dicks and I had the opportunity to lead him to the Lord.
No.
I hope he got saved. Because he was a bank president, he never came to our church because we were a little splinter up on the hill. Had to go to the first church.
Yeah.
And some would get drunk every weekend, some wouldn't touch the stuff. But they're both going to the same hell. Some go to worship in their synagogue or church every Sunday, but they're still going to hell. You may be here this morning, and you're a good person. I mean, you don't beat your wife, or you don't cuss and swear, except when you get mad. You don't do a lot of bad things, but you're lost. You're a natural person. Then what happens to a natural man when his life's over? He's lived out his days here in New York. He doesn't go to heaven. He goes to a place called hell for all eternity. Don't let that happen to you.
No.
You don't have to be the natural person. You can come over to the other side, and I hope you'll be a spiritual person.
No.
If you're this morning and you've let the devil lead you kind of into carnality, you don't have to stay there.
Amen.
You don't have to stay there. You can come to this old altar and ask God to forgive you, and you walk out of building a spiritual Christian on the right road. And there's different degrees of spirituality. Some of them are closer to the Lord than others. One of the old preachers of the past said this. He said, when Jesus comes, boy, I wish it was today. When Jesus comes, and I'll use the state of New York, he used his saying. When Jesus comes, somebody, some Christian in New York, is going to be closer to Jesus than anybody else. Wouldn't you like to be that person? That's closest to Jesus. You can. You can get close to him. You don't have to walk far off. Warm yourself to fires of the enemy. You can be a spiritual Christian. Why don't you resolve this morning? I'm not going to be carnal. With God's help, I'm going to be a spiritual Christian. It ought to be your desire if you're saved. Because someday, we're going to face it. Face to face. If you're this morning, you've never been saved. Are you satisfied to be a natural person? Are you satisfied to go through life and end up in hell for all eternity? Folks, eternity is a long time.
Yes, sir.
Those steps said that's one. Eternity is a long time. If you live 100 on this earth, there'll be 100 on this earth, and you go out in eternity lost, next 100, next 100, next 100, next 100, it's hard even to imagine. Screaming and crying and hurting, you don't have to. Christ died for your sins too. You can be saved this morning if you'll put your trust in Christ. Don't be the natural man. Don't be the carnal man. Make it your desire. And this year of 2012, I'm going to be a spiritual Christian with God's help.
Amen.
Can't do it alone, but with God's help, I'm going to be spiritual. Let's bow before our prayer. Brother Seth, we get an invitation song ready. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to ask a couple questions. I don't embarrass people. You know that. I've been here before. Heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. Let me ask this question. How many people right here in this building can say, "Preacher, there's been a time in my life that I got saved"? I'm not asking what kind of Christian. I'm saying, "I'm a Christian. I'm saved." Let's see your hand real high. "Preacher, I know I'm going to heaven. But tell me the truth." All right, take your hands down. As only Brother Art and I have our eyes open looking, because we're concerned about it. Let me ask this question. How many say, "Preacher, I don't know I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. Pray for me." Let's see your hand real high. Let's see your hand real high. I want to pray for you. All right, God bless you. Who else? Who else joined these? I think there's been two. Anybody else? "Preacher, I'm just not sure I'm going to heaven. Pray for me." Let's see your hand real quick. Real quick. All right, let me ask this question. "Preacher, I'm saved. I know that. But I'm going to admit to God today, I'm carnal." Boy, we don't like that term, do we? I'm carnal. I want God's help as a Christian. Would you pray for me? Let's see that hand real high. Yes, many hands. Many hands. God bless you. Folks, that's the first step. That's the first step. It's been my desire, and I know it's your pastor's desire, to see everybody in this building a spiritual Christian, walking close to Jesus every day. That's our desire. Dear Lord, you've seen the hands, and more than that, you look on the hearts. I pray if there's one or two that raise their hand, they're not saved. Give them courage just now to step out and trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I pray for Christians here, Lord, that you spoke to their heart about carnality. And we don't even like the term, Lord. Nobody wants to be called carnal. But the Bible calls us that if we're not where we are to be spiritually. Give them courage to step out and come to this altar and bend that knee before you and ask your forgiveness.
Amen.
And walk out of this door where they ought to be for Jesus today. I pray in his name. Amen. Let's stand and turn the page. 36.